So today is Tuesday, 29 June 2021. We will be continuing from this book, The Essence of Infinite Meanings, Teachings from the Adapted Verse of the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. We are at page 279, the new section. There is a new adapted verse at the bottom of the page, in last paragraph. Just relax body and mind and maintain some more attention. Then we can start our session. We will begin with our usual half an hour of awareness-based meditation. So we are off the light. Then you can commence your awareness-based meditation. Remember, we are here to train our mind to be aware, to be mindful. Then after that, stabilize it. For those who already know how to do it, you can straight away go into the meditative state to develop the stability of it. And from there, use it to meditate. Okay. So remember the four support. Relax. That is the first support. Relax into every mind state that arises within your form and mind. Feel yourself at ease, soothingly relax. Then silence everything. No need to think, no need to know, no need to do anything, just silent. Then maintain awareness. The moment you are silent, without thought, you are already aware. You don't have to try to be aware. Just relax, maintain awareness, just aware, finish. Aware, finish. When you are just aware, there is no thought. Just the awareness nature. So, silent, relax, maintain awareness, then stabilize it for as long as you can. For those whose spiritual faculties are still not developed, not stable, initially maybe there will still be some connectivity, thought process, because we are human beings with the consciousness trapped inside and the sense basis. So upon contact of mind with the sense basis, their respective sense consciousness will arise. When they arise, if you are mindful, silent, and attentive, you can understand a lot of things. You can understand what is going on, and you can develop the meditative wisdom. The silent inner awareness to observe without thought, without views, opinion, without reaction from the conditioned mind. When you are completely still, aware, and silent. Without thought means without the ego, without the utter, without the entity that wants to do things, that wants to know things. So awareness-based meditation is very simple and very beautiful when you understand. Just relax, maintain awareness. Then let the mind settle down. Whatever sankhara activity, if it's still there, it will slow down, slow down, slow down. And finally, it will become very quiet and still. Where you can experience that stillness means your mind has returned to its original state before it's stirring. That is your true mind. That is your silent mind. That is your awareness nature within. That is your true nature. So get to understand what this nature is. That's why train. Develop this stability, then you will understand the Dhamma very easily. Then you can easily meditate. without the stability of this awareness nature, you cannot meditate, you cannot understand the true Dhamma. True Dhamma need a stable sati, need a stable awareness within. So with this, I will let you continue with the meditation. Pure water is like the Dhamma. The Dhamma can conform to condition and capabilities and distinguish between all things. Thus we realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. A stream, a river, a spring, and a well all have different names. The nature of their water is the same. It nourishes and eliminates defilements. However, the three dhammas, the four fruits of enlightenment, and the two paths are not the same. So pure water is like the Dhamma. So the analogy here they use is Dhamma water. Because like I explained in the previous session, the analogy is easy to understand because like water, it can wash away defilements or wash away dirty things. So you need water as an agent to clean, to wash. Water can also be used for many important function and usage. Our human body too need water. We need water to nourish ourselves, to replenish our water content. And we need water to quench our thirst. We need water to become resources for us to manufacture blood, bowels, and many other things. So water is very important. So here they use pure water. It's like the pure Dhamma. To clean impurities in the physical world, we must use clean water. In order to eliminate afflictions, we must use Dhamma water. So, to actually do away with our affliction or eliminate our affliction, we need Dhamma water. So, in the sense that there must be Dhamma. Dhamma is the teaching of the Buddha, all of truth that he had realized, all truth within nature. That's why his teaching is the Dhamma. And the essence of his teaching is the Four Noble Truths, the very unique truth. When you understand them, you become noble ones or enlightened ones. That's why they are called Noble Truths. Not any other truth. For both water and the Dhamma, though they each have many different names and appearances, the essence of each does not differ. The Dhamma is the source of our wisdom life. This is very true. Without Dhamma, you cannot understand truth. You cannot awaken. So Dhamma is the source of our wisdom life. When we comprehend Dhamma, when we awaken to the truth, then we develop wisdom. Then when we have wisdom, the wisdom life begins. I will read on. The Dhamma is the source of our wisdom life. Only with nourishment from the Dhamma can our wisdom develop. So this is very easy to understand. Without nourishment from the teachings or the Dhamma that the Buddha has taught us, we cannot really develop the wisdom. This is because it can conform to conditions and capability and distinguish between all things in accordance with sentient beings' capabilities, the Buddha gave teachings using skillful means. He did this to guide sentient beings to realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. The Buddha nature is found within our own daily life. So this sentence is very beautiful. He did this to guide sentient beings to realize what? Realize that pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. If you can recall what I shared with you, it sounds very similar. You have to realize that wisdom or pure wisdom is in all places and encompass all things. That's why I always share with you all, life itself is our greatest teacher. Then I always said, truth is everywhere, amidst life and nature. Why can't you see? For those enlightened ones who see, they always see. Because the universal characteristic, the three characteristics of anicca, dukkha, and anatta, they are everywhere in the midst of life and existence. All phenomena exhibit that universal characteristic. But this characteristic is universal, pertain to all phenomena. So this universal characteristic is what truth is all about. When you can insight into it and awaken to it, into it, you become wise, you become enlightened. So the whole sentence has its deep meaning. I read again, then you can comprehend. He did this to guide sentient beings to realize this very important understanding that pure wisdom is in all places and encompasses all things. It is part of nature, part of life and existence. The Buddha Dharma is found within our own daily living. That's the life itself. It's Dharma. It's our greatest teacher. If we don't have mindfulness, awareness, and the silent mind, we can never understand and comprehend this sentence. Because you will never expect the Buddha to tell you that life itself is your greatest teacher. And the Buddha Dharma is found only within our own daily living. It's not just go to retreat, go to the mountain, the cave, sit quietly in solitude. You can't find Dhamma there. Maybe in those places, the conditions are more conducive for you to silence your mind, to still your mind, to cultivate mental training, to stabilize your nature. But to understand truth, you have to come out into life. You have to go through life. You have to have relationship with all things. Man and nature must harmonize. You must come to the realization that all is one, one is all. We are not separated. So all this understanding is very important. So I will read on. After the Sichuan earthquake in the year 2008, Dr. Lin from Daling Ciji General Hospital went to the disaster area to participate in the free clinic being held. Everywhere he looked, there was massive destruction stretching from horizon to horizon. He saw nothing but ruin and large piles of trash and debris. Seeing the pain and sorrow of the local resident, he suddenly understood the true meaning of suffering. So based on this example given by the author, we really can appreciate suffering when we truly witness the real suffering, not the normal common suffering that is nothing compared to what happened during nature's disaster, like even the recent building collapse in Florida. I think it's Miami area. The amount of casualty, destruction and damages is so intense. A large building, 12 to 13 story high, with a swimming pool complex, condominium living, just collapsed because of foundation failure. And the sad thing is, according to the report, 3 years ago, 2018, an engineer actually has inspected that area, especially the structural damage that has occurred at the swimming pool area. And he concluded that the foundation down there is not stable, it has moved. And he has given some recommendation in his report, but nobody really take action. That's why finally when it happened, they realized it's too late. Then when it happened, you look at the thing when it collapses, it's like a pack of cards. It's not like Highland Tower. Our Highland Tower, actually, you look at it, not so bad. Why? Because our Highland Tower actually tilted. And the whole thing didn't collapse like a pack of cards. Tilted means all of the floor with the structural slab and column, most of them are still intact. That's why the rescue is easier. But the damage too equally extensive. And it affected the life of many people. The owner, the resident, the tenant, and whoever who are staying there or working there or visiting there, they are all victims of circumstances. So life is full of this type of condition and situation. That's the reason why the teaching is so beautiful. The Buddha always emphasized on this very important understanding. He said, there is this nature's law that governs life and existence, the law of karma. You reap what you sow, do good because good, do evil because evil. You plant the seed of wholesomeness, you reap the fruit of wholesomeness. You plant the seed of evil, you will reap the fruit of evil. So all this points very clearly towards one very important fact about life. If you really want to have the good life, you must take care of karma. And the Buddha also mentioned, we are all, not only human beings, living beings, sentient beings, born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of our karma. So if karma plays such a great role in our life, what must we do? We must take care of karma. Otherwise, our life will be affected. We are born of it. We inherited everything that karma brings. That's why we are born of our karma, heir to our karma, conditioned and supported by our karma. And we are what we are because of karma. So if you don't take care of karma, you will suffer, you will become miserable. So understanding this will keep us alert, sensitive, motivate us to determine to seriously look at life and take care of karma, avoid heedlessness, develop heedfulness, train our mind to be aware, to be mindful, to understand what constitutes evil, then to follow the advice of the Buddha, to avoid all evil, do good, purify the mind. The famous Dhammapada verse 183. Sabba papasa akaranam kusalesa upasampadan sacitta pariyuddhappanam etang buddhana sasana. So this advice of the Buddha is very, very beautiful, very important. Sabba is all, papasa is evil, akaranam, you have to avoid all evil, not only avoid evil, all evil. Then kusalesa, kusala is wholesomeness. Upasampada, wherever there is wholesomeness, you must develop them. You must try your very best to cultivate them. Then finally, citta. Citta is mind. You have to purify your mind. Citta pariyuddhappanam. You have to purify your mind to develop wisdom so that you will not be afflicted by what arises in life, what happens in life, so that you will not be deluded by the phenomenal world to grasp, to cling, and to attach to all this illusion, the illusional world, phenomenal world of form and consciousness. So when you can have all this understanding, you can liberate your mind and free yourself from all this affliction that comes about through ignorance, delusion, sakkadity, self-delusion. So this is the teaching. This is the beautiful part of the teaching. Then the last part of the advice says, this is the advice of all Buddha. Sacitta pariyodhapanam etang buddhana sasana. This is the advice of all Buddha. All Sammasambuddha advice just do three things. That's why you follow the advice of the Buddha, you will have the good life. Your life will be transformed for the better. And when you do that, you develop wholesomeness, goodness, virtue to have the good life. Otherwise, you cannot take care of karma. To take care of karma, you have to avoid all evil. To avoid all evil, you must understand what constitutes evil. Then you must be mindful of your mind state or mental state, mental intention behind all your actions, speech and thought process. The way you go about doing things, the way you live your life. The mental intention behind is very important. That's why you have to develop mindfulness, leading to heedfulness. You have to be ever mindful, heedful, constantly meditative. Then only you stand a chance to develop the wisdom, to liberate your mind, to have the good life. This is the most important things that living being or human being must do. If you want to have the good life, if you want to reach the pinnacle of your human potential, you must have this teaching, this understanding. Then it will enable you to have the good life, the beautiful life. Then life become beautiful, meaningful, wonderful. Because this teaching is so unique, it can free living beings from all affliction, all suffering, and all misery. That it can give you the right understanding to understand life, to to understand the secret of life so that you know how to live life to the fullest, beautifully and wonderfully. Then you can get to experience all of the pristine beauty and wonders of life and existence. So this is what matters. What else is more important? Not all the status, the wealth, whatever that you are after in the materialistic world. Of course, you can achieve them and realize them is good, but those are not something that is tangible, that you can bring along, that can change your life. Maybe it makes you more famous. But sooner or later, all this has no more meaning. Then our physical form starts to go the way of nature. When you start to grow old, get sick, then later on approaching death. All this has no more meaning. Then as you go through life without this teaching, without this Dhamma, you can become afflicted. You can be miserable despite the wealth and the materialistic success that you may have. You look at Steve Jobs, a billionaire, very successful, very famous. But because of disease, cancer, he died very young. Then the last few years before he died, he came to realize some very important fact. Money is not everything. There are other things in life that are more vital, more important, more significant that living being should actually be aware of. Yeah. So do not be foolish. Do not procrastinate. Do not wait till it is too late. This teaching is available during this sasana, and we are actually very blessed because this is the golden era where the teaching is there, the sasana is there. So do make full use of it. If I were you, I go all out. I will not turn my back. That was what happened in the year 1971 when I heard the Four Noble Truths. When I came to know this teaching, there was no turning back. I knew this is important. I went all out to cultivate, to develop the understanding. Of course, you can say I was blessed with a fantastic past life cultivation. That one is undeniable. But then everybody has the condition. And if you have the opportunity or condition to hear all this, why not reflect on it, contemplate on it, and give it a try. Do it. Find out for yourself why I advise you to do it. Why I'm sharing with you that this is very beautiful. This is very, very important. So all this is what the teachings of the Buddha is all about. The Buddha, the fully enlightened one, he came for the living beings. He came with this unique teaching, this beautiful teaching that the world very badly needs. Because without this understanding of his teaching, it's almost impossible to understand life, to have the ability to live life, to be free of all suffering and affliction, to develop the tranquility and stillness of mind, to realize our eternal nature within, which is unborn, the unconditioned. So all these are so beautiful. Why are you not giving it a try? Why are you not cherishing it and pursuing it? So hopefully with this sharing, Kayamita can determine with a stronger faith than strongly aspire to go this way. With faith, with sincerity, persevere, cultivate, plant the seed of Bodhi, take the Bodhisattva vow, finish of the training and the cultivation. So hopefully with this, you all can really progress further and benefit from all this important sharing. Now we go back to the sharing partner. So understanding the true meaning of suffering, you need to go through the teaching and you need to go through life. You need to expose yourself. That's why cultivation is not only alone. There are times to be alone. There are times to secure yourself. But ultimately, you have to move out into life to really understand what humanity, human beings, living beings, and the environment are, what nature is. Then understand clearly who are you, what are you. It's only within life that you can see the manifestation of truth. What is truth? Nature's law that governs life and existence. And they only exist within life, existence. As I, truth is everywhere, why can't you see? For those who see, they always see. So I will read on. He said that previously, he had not really understood this word from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning. With mind tranquil and clear and vow as vast as the universe, they remain unwavering for countless eons. So these words from the Sutra of Infinite Meaning is very beautiful. But this Sutra of Infinite Meaning describes the mind of a great being, Bodhisattvas and Samasambuddhas. So according to the author, this person, Dr. Lin, he had read the Sutra of Infinite Meaning, but he cannot comprehend until he went to help out at the Sichuan earthquake in the year 2008. So I read again, you listen attentively. If you can develop this mind state, you are very beautiful. With mind tranquil and clear, that is your true mind, your nature. And vows, Bodhisattva vows, as vast as the universe, they remain unwavering for countless eons going through this cultivation. Means walking the Bodhisattva way. Countless eons means countless eons of birth and death. So only great beings and great Bodhisattva who has the resolve, the faith, and the perseverance, and the sincerity to go this way, can fulfill such vows, can complete such training. So this Sutta of Infinite Meaning's description of the great being's mind, their vows, and their unwavering resolve are so beautiful and so meaningful. Then when you have this understanding, you become different. You can be anywhere in the midst of life, under any circumstances and condition, you will not be affected at all. You will know what to do. You will fulfill your vow. You will perform your duty. You will be a blessing to all. So all this becomes like automatic, very natural to you. Infinite Dhamma door readily open in front of you. That's why you can have this type of mind. Mind tranquil and clear. Vow as vast as the universe. And remain unwavering for countless eons. Infinite Dhamma readily open or appear in front of you. They attain great wisdom and completely understand all Dhamma. That's why Bodhisattva are unique. All these great beings, they are very unique. It was only after he went to serve in this free clinic that he realized he lived in a wonderful environment where his mind could be clear, tranquil, and pure, where he did not have to suffer from the ups and downs of the turbulent world around him, because he has his karma, good karma, to protect him and to provide him with a good life. The many kinds of suffering that he witnessed in the disaster area make him fully understand that suffering comes in many forms, and with this understanding, his wisdom was suddenly awakened. Isn't this an example of infinite Dhammado readily appearing in front of us? Because if you don't witness all this in real intense disaster area, you cannot see all of the myriad suffering and misery in affliction. It's only through such exposure that you can understand why the Dhamma is called infinite Dhamma, because it has infinite Dhamma though, to actually train the Bodhisattva to have the complete understanding. So this training is very important. So when you can witness the many kinds of suffering in the disaster area, you will understand that suffering comes in many forms. And with this understanding, his wisdom was suddenly awakened. Isn't this an example of infinite Dhammado readily appearing in front of us? In this environment, he realized the working of the world. In life, there is happiness, and there is also impermanence and suffering and affliction. We can be living in the heaven on earth, or living in hell while on earth. He also saw that though this disaster caused great damage, there are many volunteers there to listen to the survivors, share their experience, and then provide them with guidance and comfort and relief. Guidance and comfort out of an inexhaustible wellspring of love. When Dr. Lin was confronted with the impermanence of life and the myriad experience of countless sentient beings, he realized at the last the truth of suffering in this world. This realization arose from the pure wisdom that each person inherently possesses. If we can attain wisdom through observing and experiencing the working of the world, naturally, we will understand the Dhamma, which is very true, because Dhamma is nature's law. If you are not silent, not observant, not aware, you cannot understand, you cannot see how things arise and how things cease and how things are conditioned into what it is. So this is Dhamma. That's why the Buddha said the conditioned world is a phenomenal world of consciousness that is dependent, originating, condition arising, cause of phenomenon. That's why he teach the 12 link, the law of dependent origination, Paticca-samuppanna. So this understanding is very beautiful. So I read again this sentence, you will add meaning to it. If we can attain wisdom through observing and experiencing the working of the world, naturally we will understand the Dhamma. So this is very true. Huh? We will understand that Dhamma can be found everywhere, that it is in all places and encompass all things. So this is the beauty of Dhamma and awakening. All matters and things contain the Dhamma within them. Trees, flowers, grass, and even things that we use every day all contain nature's principles, natural principles. For example, a table allows us to write notes and eat a meal, while a clock allows us to know what time it is All tangible objects abide by nature's principles. Humans also abide by the natural principle of birth, aging, illness, and death, while in nature the four-season cycle without end. In our daily life or daily living, time, space, and interpersonal relationship all abide by nature's principle or natural principles. Therefore, infinite Dhamma Dao can be found in the midst of our everyday lives. But our wisdom is obscured by ignorance. So this is why deluded people, heedless people cannot understand, because their inner nature, their true nature, which is capable of arising wisdom, has been obscured by ignorance. Ignorant means not understanding the truth, the nature's law that governs life and existence. And the main one is sakkayadity, self-delusion. So we remain unaware of them. Thus, we need to find water to wash away our ignorance so that we can manifest and apply our intrinsic pure wisdom. Yeah. So here, he used the word water to wash away our ignorance. Actually, water cannot wash away your ignorance. You need wisdom, you need insight to awaken and free the mind. The mind that realizes itself is set free and liberated. Okay, I have explained the last Tuesday class. The last Thursday class. So I read on. A stream, a river, a spring, and a well all have different names, but the nature of water is the same. It nourishes life and eliminates defilements. The three rhymes, or the three dhammas, the four fruits and the two paths are not the same. This one is from the sutra, the adapted verse. So no matter where water comes from, its nature is the same. It can nourish the land. In the same way, while Dhamma water cleans ignorance from our mind, it also nourishes both our life and our wisdom. The three Dhamma are the Dhamma of warmth, Dhamma of pinnacle, and the Dhamma of foremost in the world. So we read the notes, note 39. The Dhamma of warmth, the explanation is when a person reaches this state through cultivating the fourfold mindfulness and the four right effort, their mastery in practice has already grown strong. So this is the initial training, the cultivation part. Means you have to cultivate the four right effort, followed by the fourfold mindfulness, means four foundation of mindfulness. Kaya nupassana, vedana nupassana, citta nupassana, and dhamma nupassana, satipatthana practices. So when you can complete these two training, your mastery in cultivation has already grown strong. This is like producing fire by rubbing stick or wood together. Even though there is no fire yet, there is already heat rising from it, and fire will be kindled very soon. So the Dhamma of pinnacle, also named the pinnacle level, means pinnacle is the peak, you reach the peak, is when the roots of goodness formed through the Dhamma of warmth gradually grew into perfection, to perfect maturity. This Dhamma is peerless, like the pinnacle of a high mountain. Then the Dhamma of foremost in the world is the ultimate or utmost wisdom that can be found in the world. Means the wisdom of Sammāsambuddha. So this three level of Dhamma is very meaningful. So Dhamma of warmth means you do the hard work, the real cultivation first, until your mindfulness is very stable. Then you use it to cultivate the four right effort, followed by the four foundation of mindfulness. Then this will lead to mastery in the cultivation, means you can actually break free to become at least an Anagami or an Arahant, if not. Because for foundational mindfulness, is step 8 of Abhijja Sutta. When you cultivate that, you will realize at least Anagami, if there is still some minor conceit. Or what the Buddha called in Pali, mana. Otherwise, you will become an Arahant. So this description is very beautiful. Then after that, you continue on to perfect it, to develop all of the goodness, the wholesomeness, leading to the perfection formed through your cultivation, the Dhamma one. So gradually grow to perfect maturity. So when you grow to perfect maturity, you reach the peerless pinnacle of your training. Then after that, the final perfection is the Dhamma or foremost in the world, or the utmost wisdom that can be found in the world is the wisdom of the 10 perfection, Sammasambuddhahood. Okay, we move on. A little bit to go. The four fruits are the four stages of enlightenment: Sotapanna shape, Sakadagami shape, Anagami shape, and Arahant. So we read the notes, see what they have to say. Yeah, this is the Mahayana version. The four fruits, because under the enlightenment of the sainthood way, the Buddha mentioned the four path and friction. So they call it the four fruit. Refer to the four friction realized by sound hearer. The word sound is missing. Who are practitioner of the small vehicle. Sunman, sound hearer. Or they call it in Pali the savaka. The consequence, the sequence is Sotapanna ship, stream entry. Sakadagama shape, once returner, and Anagami, non-returner, and Arahant shape is the final beyond training, 21. So this once returner means when you become a Sakadagami, you will only come back to the sensual world to take birth one more time. And after that, no more rebirth in the sensual realm. Then Anagami is non-returner. Once you realize Anagami, you will not return to the sensual realm. After that, you take birth in the pure air body, unless you become Arahant in that life. Otherwise, you will take birth in the pure air body, in the Brahma realm, to complete your training to become Arahant. Okay, that's all. Then we go back to the last part. The four fruits we have gone through, the three dhammas we have gone through, then the two path, they are the path of Pacheka Buddha path and the Bodhisattva path. So this one is very obvious. The Bodhisattva way is the Mahayana way, whereas the Pacheka Buddha is more the sainthood way. That's why they sometimes call it the silent Buddha, means the Buddha that doesn't want to share or teach, because they are the Pacheka Buddha who are normally born within the period where there is no Buddha Sasana, but they awaken to the understanding of truth via the dwelling Paticca Samuppada. Because during non-Sasana period, there is no form of a truth. So they have to go through the 12 condition arising Dhamma. They have to silence their mind, develop mindfulness to awaken to the dwelling or Paticca Samuppada teaching, so that they know who they are, what they are, and they can liberate their mind and free their mind from delusion, ignorance. So this are very beautiful teaching. The three Dhamma, the four fruits, and the two paths are all inseparable from the teachings, the practice, and the attainment. So these three you can also summarize as the teaching, when you understand, then you cultivate it, then you attain, and you reach the pinnacle, then the perfection. First, teaching refers to everything taught by the Buddha throughout his lifetime, whether skillful means or true dhamma, whether discussing existence or emptiness, all are teachings that the Buddha expounds through his wisdom. Second is cultivation. So this is talking about the three stages of dhamma, or the three phases of dhamma. Pariyati is the learning of the teaching, the first phase. The second phase is Patipati. Then we put into practice what we have learned. So the second phase of Dhamma is the practice. The Buddha taught us to understand that there are many names and appearances and many different meanings in the Dhamma. So it is not enough to just listen and understand. We must put the teaching into practice or cultivation. We enter the door to the Dhamma from the Four Noble Truths. Then we understand the Paticchasamuppada, the dwelling of cyclical existence, and finally go further by actualizing the six paramitas or perfection in all of our actions. This is the practice of the Dhamma. So the Bodhisattva way is included. The Mahayana focus on the six paramita, but Theravada tradition, they have the 10 perfection. That's why theirs is the 10 perfection. So the Buddha taught us that in order to realize wisdom, we must first understand the Four Noble Truths. The Noble Truth of Dukkha, the cause of its arising, then the cessation of Dukkha, and finally the path that lead to the cessation of suffering or Dukkha. Then we should thoroughly understand the dwellings of cyclical existence so that we can understand, so we can understand that during our many cycles through birth, aging, illness and death, sentient beings are continuously creating karma. We keep transmigrating life after life, coming and going in accordance with the forces of our karma. If we understand the Four Noble Truths and the dwelling of cyclical existence, and thus seek liberation, we will resolve to cultivate the six perfection of paramitas of giving. This is Dana Parami. Then Sila Parami, upholding of the precepts. Then Kanti, which is patient. Then diligent is virya, then samadhi, which is the collectedness of mind, the unwavering mind, and finally panya, wisdom, in all of our action. This is how we enter the bodhisattva path, leading to sammasambuddhahood. Third is attainment, means the third phase of dhamma, Pativeda. When you have completed the training, then you reap the fruit of your hard work. It's the attainment stage. After you have realized the enlightenment, you can live the life of enlightenment, a noble ones. Then you can really develop the beautiful understanding of life and live the noble life of enlightened being. Then you can really live life to the fullest, experience life to the fullest. Then life become meaningful, wonderful. So all these are possible. And thus to actualize, practice leading to realization, and thus finally to actualization. Without action, there can be no comprehension. As we can see from Dr. Lin's story, when he participated in the free clinic, he experienced infinite Dhamma Dao readily appearing before him. So in order to attain wisdom, we must first put the teaching into practice ourselves so as to attain realization through our spiritual practice, we can eventually attain the awakened state of Nirvana or Nibbana. So this one will complete the adapted verse, which is just nice. So now we stop here. I will mark the page. Then we can open up for meditation reporting, Q&A, and sharing.
Yeah, good evening, Brother Teo, and okay, Amitas.
Brother.
Yeah, I would like to do some sharings.
Ah, good.
Okay. And I recently I noticed I have a lot of like reflections, you know, on content.
Very good, yeah.
And it's automatically come over.
Yeah.
Unlike like last time. See, last time I was trying to say, how to do contemplation.
Yeah,
how
you were having difficulty at that time, but now it's very natural. It become part of you. That's why it just come by itself. That's why Dhamma will keep on arising, unfolding. Then you find it very easy. Like everything is Dhamma. Life itself is your greatest teacher. All this will fall into place. Yeah, you continue, Chinna. Yeah.
Yes, correct. Mm. You know, like today I was trying to review the last Thursday mini video talk.
Yeah.
Right, because you know, with the help of Missy, we able to manage to do 11.
Wow, sadhu.
On yeah, last sadhu. Thursday, because it was really
your last
early.
Thursday was very good.
Yes.
Actually, Aim B finished all very fast. I haven't finished the review. I almost going to finish, but haven't. But very good. She understand what I share. That's why the thing that she transcribed out is very clear, very easy to edit. But there are certain parts I feel that I need to add on something to make it clearer, so that you all can comprehend and understand. But not everybody are at the level of cultivation. So there are certain parts that I elaborate on, but it will become very beautiful when it come out. Now, these are the teaching or Dhamma that you can never hear from anybody else. I mean, for the time being, as far as I know. And these are the very unique Dhamma that only cultivator can experience and develop the understanding. Otherwise, to most people, it's like, what is all this? Because they can never comprehend. Because these are all about awareness-based cultivation, developing the stability of the silent mind, understanding the nature, understanding the real cultivation, the direct seeing, the awakening and all this thing. So these are very beautiful sharing and topic. Then today one also one section when I explain the importance of the Buddha Dhamma, that one also very useful, very beautiful. Oh, very good. 11 short videos. Sadhu. Continue.
So when I was reviewing the mini YouTube, there was one part talking about the sensu polishing the mirror, all these things. And suddenly it has a sort of like a fresh of understanding, like last time, you see,
you are not ready to receive that deeper truth, but now you are ready. That's why you listen different again. The understanding is very, very different.
Yes, I was like reflecting about last time where I was joining the Vipassana retreat and all those kind of things. We are talking about, you know, sitting. And then I know that I was like, this was like sensu, you know, keep on polishing.
Yeah, until it shines.
yeah, but it doesn't bring me anywhere.
Yeah.
It doesn't mean me anywhere. So
like, now you start to understand all this.
Yeah, I start to appreciate, you know, like the way you taught us.
Yeah.
You know, it's not about sitting how many hours.
It's nothing to do with all the fantastic meditation.
Yes.
Mind state. No, how calm, how still, how if you don't develop wisdom, no use. Well, it is not going to help you. All these are experiences, nothing to do with the Dhamma. The Dhamma is about awakening, about developing wisdom, understanding, to insight into phenomena, to develop the clear understanding so that we are not deluded, so that we have clarity, that we see through delusion, that we understand clearly who are we, what are we, what is this universe all about, what are the nature's law that governs life and existence, what are the essential dhamma, the truth. Everything become very clear. If you do it, the thought based on the traditional one, it becomes knowledge, a lot of dhamma knowledge. So that one, you can go and try it. I realize wasting time, because if you continue to do that, means you don't develop the ability to silence your mind, to realize your true mind. And when your awareness is not there, not stable, you cannot understand Dhamma, the true Dhamma. You cannot, because you don't know what this thing is. Yet this type of truth, they arise from the silent mind, from our true nature. That is the one that can awaken to it. It is not from the thought. Those who use thought-based meditation and training, the thought itself is an instrument that is limited. Your thought cannot see beyond thought, cannot realize something that is beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why you have to be silent, completely silent, to be aware, to be sensitive, to observe clearly. Then not to allow the memory, the views, the opinion, the conditioning, your whatever accumulated memory, your scars of memory, your fear, your anxiety, your phobia, all this will not come in and interfere. Otherwise, that becomes delusion. We are acting according to memory is to act from your fear, your insecurity, your whatever phobia, scars of memory, your views, your opinion, your conditioning, your belief system, and even your own selfishness, your own greed, your own fear. All these are the evil roots. So acting according to memory is not acting at all, because you are acting from delusion, from sakayadity, from evil roots. That's why that one actually trap the living being. That one create more fear, more doubt, more insecurity. And that one attach and cling to words, Dhamma words. The true Dhamma is beyond word, beyond thought. It's an understanding that you have to awaken to. It's not a knowledge that you commit to memory. You cannot retrieve Dhamma just like that. That's why I always share you all, wisdom is, you have means you have. It's in your nature after you awaken, after you have seen it or awakened to it or insight into it. That one will never be lost. It's always there. So no need to remember anything. Don't keep in the memory. Because this brain, the accumulated memory, or what they call bundle of memory, views, opinion, and conditioning, upon dissolution of this physical body, equals the way of nature. That brain, all the accumulated memory and experiences, they are taken away from you. So only the mundane mind that grabs and cling, hold on to that memory. But when that physical brain is gone, all your knowledge, everything also gone. That's why when you take birth again, you cannot remember anything, hardly anything, unless you will really determine to hold it in your subconscious through your vow or through your determination to have that kind of talent and understanding. And then you can carry on to the next life or whatever. Otherwise, cannot. You will not be there. Then this wisdom is very funny. unless you come with a form in mind, cultivate, connect, and realize, then the wisdom arises again. Then you inherit from your spiritual nature. If you don't connect, you cannot inherit. Then it cannot arise. So whatever that you have developed, even this life, my nature developed, upon the form and mind collapse, or we call it the form and mind separate or disperse, then whatever wisdom or understanding that is connected to this form and mind also disappear with it. But it is accumulated in my spiritual nature. It's not lost. But you cannot carry it to the next birth. Cannot. In the next birth, even as a bodhisattva, I remember when I came, when I was very young, I know my mind was different. I was without thought until 6 years old, Then later on, the 1 year before I went to school, my father brought me back to a notorious village or suburb. There, I saw how my mind defiled and become entangled with all the conditioning and whatever. Then after that, and I grew up, then I realized I inherited the karmic first initially. Of course, the spiritual one, I cannot connect and inherit. But because of the understanding from the spiritual, I had the vow and all those things and all the condition that I created and the affinity that I have with the great beings. They also actually surface and protect my form and mind, then allow me to develop the understanding that my form and mind, this life when it comes, is different, is unique. I can see when I was very young. I know I'm not a normal child. A lot of things that happened to me when I was young show it to me, many things. Then later on, I realized I have to cultivate. Then I have to connect. Before I connect, my spiritual understanding from my spiritual nature, I cannot inherit. It's only after 1989 when I connect and realize what this thing is. Then during that few short period, the whole understanding came back to me. And I inherited a lot of the understanding. That's like a lot of things I teach you all and share with you all. I never learned this life. None of my teacher or guide taught me all these things. Then how can I know all these things? Even my teaching and all those things, the Tathagata teaching. The moment I see truth, I understand, just like Huining. So all this is what Dhamma is all about. So if you are not a cultivator, you have not gone through this, you will never comprehend. You can never comprehend. That's why you may think, what is all this nonsense? No book write about it. Nobody talk about it. How can it be like that? So it's like very weird. No. That's the reason why it's not easy to cultivate to such understanding and level. Well, every life we come, the form and mind, it doesn't last very long. And like I always explain, by the time you connect, most people are already very old. And I was lucky, you know, this life I connect at the age of 35, 1989. I was born in 1954. And I consider 35 very early. We have Sakyamuni Buddha also underneath the Bodhi tree at the age of 35. But most people, 35, still not going after the Dhamma yet. And most of you are even 40-something, 50-something, still want to learn and find out what this thing is. Then as you go into the cultivation, by the time you develop some form of understanding or awakening, maybe already 50, 60 years old, or 60 plus. Then for those who can progress further, by the time they can touch that nature and connect. Maybe, like one of my guide told me, do you know, he said, Theo, what you have realized, normal people cannot do, he said. Most of them, 80 years and beyond, only they come to that point when I was able to connect at the age of 35. He said, nobody can touch that. The earliest is about 80 and beyond, then how much light they have? Not much. So that's the reason why this teaching is very difficult to come by. Then you need to stabilize this. For me, I was lucky because 2021, yeah? Minus 1989, how many years is it? 32 years already. So that thing has stabilized over that 32 years. That's why now you see how my nature actually evolved and teach and share. You all can know. It was ahead of time. There are a lot of things I can't share where there was no condition. Then when there is condition, you can even see now everything that come out of the sharing is so different now. So this is what Dhamma is. The beauty of the true Dhamma, the real teaching, it is not what people think. So now you understand, Jinhao, like you said last time you used to follow, not only you, most people, they follow this so-called Vipassana and all those things, tradition or the Theravada, and even a lot of Mahayana teaching also is taught in a mainly thought-based manner. Seldom do you really find a group of cultivator or teacher who developed the cultivation through understanding what sati is, what that silent mind is, and leading you direct to the true mind, like Huining. Very rare. That's why before Huining, all this type of teaching was not there. It needs Huining to actually come and prove it to people that without education, you can penetrate the Dhamma. Because Dhamma is not Wenzi, it's not the word. It's the silent mind that can understand and awaken. That is the criteria. It's not the memory. It's not the knowledge. It's not the Dhamma book. Like the Zen analogy, the turtle with the bundle of Tipitaka behind, carrying it for thousands and thousands of years. And yet they say, the turtle still don't know what Dhamma is. But the turtle laughs back. The turtle say, only foolish living being or cultivator think the true Dhamma is in the Tipitaka. He said the true Dhamma is not in the Tipitaka. The Tipitaka is like the finger pointing to the moon. You can realize that. The finger pointing to the moon. The finger is like the Tipitaka pointing towards the truth, which is the moon that you want to realize, the Dhamma, the true Dhamma, the Buddha Dhamma. So if you want to realize what is the true teaching or the true Dhamma, which is to realize the moon, you have to look beyond this finger. Do you understand? Looking beyond this finger is to look beyond the Wenzi, look beyond the Dhamma words, the Dhamma book. And you have to silence your mind to realize that. Because this teaching comes from the silent mind. From that nature, it awakens. So this is the part I want to share. So hopefully all this can help more and more people. So Jinhao, thank you for your good condition. You can continue. Yeah, you can continue.
Yeah. Now I understand that the emphasis is daily mindfulness.
Yeah.
And yes. And doing lying down meditation is to train myself to be more relaxed and aware, so that when it comes to daily activities, you see, I'll be more mindful, you see. And also the key part for me, I understand, is that to lengthen the gap between the thought from one another.
Space.
Because when you do the lying down meditation, you stabilize the awareness nature until the mind enters sati. When mind enters sati, your mind is all the time in sati. So during that time, you hardly think. But when it is aware and mindful, there is no thought. That's why there is a lot of space. There's a lot of clarity, tranquility, stillness. Then you only need to arise them when you need to use them to live life, to communicate, to develop understanding, to contemplate, to reflect. So all this, the cultivator will come to understand. And all this that I share just now, you go and check the textbook. Where got textbook write about this? How to train the mind, how to develop the understanding. So this is very beautiful. So now you understand the space between thought, because you realize living being think a lot. At least you have trained yourself to develop some form of mindfulness, and you are more aware inwardly. So that there is understanding. You are not completely like last time, heedlessly lost in thought, think a lot. The mental hindrance are there all the time, overwhelming, overtaking, and creating havoc in you. But now, with your understanding, you are more aware. And most of the time when you are contemplating, reflecting, you are not heedless. You are not lost in thought. That's why all this become the transformation that take place slowly. From heedless way of living, you have become more and more mindful, more and more heedful. That's how you transform. If you don't stabilize your silent mind awareness nature until the mind enters sati, your daily mindfulness cannot be like very graceful or connected. Because the mind that is not trained without the stability of inner awareness or mindfulness cannot be mindful all the time. If in the what we call formal meditation, when you sit or you lie down and you don't move, you cannot stabilize that mind or awareness, then do you think you stand a chance when you come out into daily life? Cannot, because your sixth sense is so active, fully engaged while living life. So to develop mindfulness and awareness in the midst of life is not easy. That's why I realized through my own cultivation in the early days that when I sit, last time I used to sit first initially, and I did anapanasati mindfulness until the mind becomes so subtle and so still until the mind enters sati. Then when the mind enters sati, I realize everything is like magnified. That everything I do is in sati. My hand movement, how I arise from the sitting, how I walk, how I move, how I do whatever, my clothing or whatever. There is awareness, there is mindfulness, body and mind as one, bowing, everything is the same. Then I realize I don't have to do anything to be mindful. Yeah? The mind has entered sati. Then every moment of hearing, no interference from the brain, everything. It's just pure hearing. Smell also same, that pure. Yeah. Then if you want to perceive, it can perceive. You don't want, it stop there. Yeah. Then it has awareness, all the time aware. Then whatever happens, there is no fear, nothing, no movement of thought. It will not create and stir like last time. That's how I came to know that the daily mindfulness can come about, provided you have stabilized your silent mind, your sati. Stabilized means you meditate until it's so quiet, so still, so tranquil, that the mind enters sati. Means the mind is in sati. Means that mind becomes the true mind. It's no more the thinking mind. That's why that true mind can be in the state of specific phenomenal awareness. That's why body and mind move as one. Physical phenomena. Then all of nature, when you see or you hear the vibration, all is like the awareness and the thing as one. It's no longer last time. You go and see, then create the thought and input the content of consciousness. You perceive that, you create a lot of movement inside that. Your mind stir, react, and do all those funny things. No more. Then I realize, hey, this is what Dhamma is. This is what the teaching is. But how many people can reach that state to understand all this? That's why now there is condition I can share and move deeper into it. In the past, there is no condition. That's why, for those who can recall, I used to tell you all, unless there is condition, the Dhamma cannot come out. What my nature has gone through, realized and understood, is a lot more. Like the Buddha said, the leaf above the forest. compared to the essential Dhamma, the handful of leaves. What the Buddha knew is like the leaf in the whole of the forest. And what he has taught us is the essential for number two, which is like the handful that is enough for you to develop awakening to become saint, sainthood way. So that is the initial teaching. The sainthood way is important. Then after that, you develop the understanding to go the bodhisattva way to take the higher teaching, the more extensive and complete teaching. Then during that time, your training is very different. It's not just the initial sainthood way. That's the reason why I always share with you. Actually, the sainthood way is relatively very, very simple and very easy. But of course, people who don't understand, they may not agree. They say, you think it's easy to become enlightened. So a lot of people say, I can become a Sutapana, I'm very contented already. But these are people who don't really have the understanding of the cultivation. When you have the understanding of the cultivation, the sainthood way is relatively simple, where you don't really have to stabilize much of your awareness nature. You don't even have to connect to your true nature. You can actually meditate until the mind ceases for a moment. They call it a glimpse of cessation. And now, that one can awaken you and become a Sotapanna or a Sakadagami. That's why you look at Avijja Sutta. To have the first stage and second stage of sainthood realization, you don't even have to go to step 8. You only go to step 8 after you have realized either the first or second stage of sainthood. And to realize that, what you need to do is step 1, have Dhamma friend. Step 2, constantly listen to the Dhamma until your initial wisdom is there. Then you develop investigative understanding to have faith in the Buddha and his teaching. So that is step 3. Then step 4 is the initial wisdom, born of second turning, contemplation, reflection, and inquiry. Then after that only, you can straighten your view to allow you to have more stability in your mindfulness so that your mind will not stir like before. At the moment of sense experience, the yoniso manasikara or wisdom will prompt you at the moment of sense experience. Then you will have the wisdom to come to terms with that reality and be at peace. You just aware, then you move. Means your mind does not react and stir like before. That's how you become more and more peaceful, more and more quiet. Then more and more space between thought. Then when your daily mindfulness stabilizes, you develop sati sampajana. That's why sati sampajana is not only sati, clear comprehension. Clearly comprehending what is going on. The four types of clear comprehension. Sincerity of practice, domain of meditation, suitability, the place, the time, the most important time, the most important place, the most modern people. And finally is non-delusion, clear comprehension. So these four will prevent you from debating, doing the wrong thing. Then from there, you are able to be so mindful and aware that your precept will never be broken anymore. You will have stability in keeping your precept. That's why step 6 lead you to have this ability, sense restraint. And when you can have sense restraint, step 7 is a natural occurrence or natural tendency. So step 7 means the three types of right conduct, right speech, right thought, and right action. So these three, once you can do it, in fact, when you reach step 6, you are already a Sotapanna, because the Buddha under the teaching did mention, a Sotapanna cannot break the precept, no matter how, he cannot break the precept, the five precepts. And after that, the three types of sense restraint will allow you to have that ability not to break the precept. Then after that, the three way of right conduct means you continue to purify, to develop right speech, right action, right thought, and right livelihood. And this one will allow you to become the Sakadagami, second stage of sainthood, or second stage of enlightenment. Yeah. So all this is clearly spelled out in the Avijja Sutta. So if you look back, you will develop the understanding. So the whole lot of the teaching, the training is very, very beautiful. Then you start to see the zigzag puzzle all falling into place. The mind map that my daughter did. You look at it, it becomes, wow, so beautiful. Everything is connected. And what I recently shared one later on can also go into the mind map to connect up the more important missing link for higher practice, for higher training, cultivation to develop clear understanding. So all these are very beautiful. So Jinhao, salute to you for arising the condition. You can still continue.
Yeah. And also recently, Sister Karen sent a very nice Jay Krishnamurti quote, is it? Yeah. I'll just read it out, is it? You can sit in the right posture with your back straight, breathing correctly, doing Pranayama and all the rest of it for the next 10,000 years. But you will be nowhere near perceiving true because you have not understood yourself, the way you think and live. Correct. You have not ended your sorrow and yet you want to find enlightenment.
Yeah, correct. We are the thought seeking enlightenment. Because the form and mind also you cannot comprehend, you cannot understand. That means you cannot understand who are you, what are you. This form and mind is not what you think, like the Buddha said. This one go the way of nature, dependent originating, condition arising, cause of phenomena, not a permanent and changing entity. It's not you. That's why don't be foolish, don't be deluded, don't grasp, don't cling, don't hold. That's why in the first Noble Truth final summary, the Buddha summarized in short, it is your self delusion, sakadity, that condition you to grasp onto these five aggregates of form and mind, the grasping aggregate that I call dukkha. So this is very clear. When you grasp and cling onto this, it constitutes sakadity. That's why you will have the three evil roots. You will become selfish, you will become greedy, because you think this is you. The egoic mind will arise, the personality will arise. Then when things don't go your way, you get angry, emotional. You create all the negativity of thought process. Then when you don't understand, there is fear, there is insecurity, there is doubt, there is restlessness of mind. This is how the three evil roots manifest. And from the three evil roots, conditions, suffering, where these are evil roots, root of all evil, make you evil, bring about karmic downfall, bring about suffering and misery. So all these are negative tendency, negative vibration and energy field. That's why you have to develop virtue, love, compassion, gratitude, understanding, kindness, sincerity. All this is to reverse the evil. We are all these virtuous thought, kind thought, metta and all those things. They are devoid of the evil roots. That's why you have to cultivate right thought, leading to right speech, right action, and right livelihood. And to do that, you need wisdom, you need right view, right understanding. That's why the Dhamma must awaken in you, the initial wisdom, the Yoniso Manasikara. So that part is very good. So you see, this Jay Krishnamurti quote is very important. So earlier on, I also intend to share this, but I forgot about it completely. So according to Jay Krishnamurti, he said, you can sit in the right posture, with your back perfectly straight, breathing correctly, doing pranayama. Pranayama is anapanasati, means using the breath as your meditation object. And all the rest of it, these are very common cultivation that the Hindu they do during the time of the Buddha. For the next 10,000 years, but you will still be nowhere near perceiving truth. Why? Because you have not understood yourself. Who are you? What are you? You lack mindfulness. You lack awareness. You are not able to understand the way you think, the way you live life. You have not ended sorrow, suffering, misery. You still have fear, worry, anxiety, sorrow and lamentation. And yet, you want to find enlightenment. That is the thought. Actually developing the craving, the desire to become enlightened. But you don't know what enlightenment is. You don't know what wisdom is. Wisdom arises from self-knowledge. Self-knowledge to realize that the form and mind is not you, to awaken to its universal characteristic, to insight into phenomena, the two aspects of the five aggregate of form and mind. So all this is what the teaching is all about. That's why you look at J. Krishnamurti quote, you will come to know both he and the Buddha. They are both very wise. He didn't use any of the word the Buddha used. And yet, he explained the truth so clearly and so simple within just maybe how many lines? 2, 4, 6, 7 or 9. Just one paragraph. So this is for people who already have the understanding. They read very meaningful. But he is not cultivated. You don't have the Dhamma. You cannot understand him. That's why I say he don't teach you how to develop the understanding to understand all this. Jai Krishnamurti, he himself have seen, understood all those things. But he cannot teach you how to realize that. It's just like the Buddha's advice. You have to walk the path yourself and realize and awaken yourself. He only give you the teaching, the Dhamma. He only show you the way. Buddha merely show the way. Like the Buddhist hymn. We ourselves must walk the path. Buddha merely show the way. So this is the meaning. He can only tell you that this is not the way to actually realize enlightenment, to understand yourself. You need the silent mind, the awareness, the mindfulness to have this ability. So his quote is very beautiful. That's why he said 10,000 years or so you're wasting your time. Like I always say, you can go in and out of retreat, train yourself, make yourself very calm, very peaceful, and have fantastic meditation, all the so-called jhana, jnana, how to say. Then when you come out, you are back to square one. Because the moment you come back into society and life, you become heedless again. You can't even manage your thought process. You can't even be aware of what is going on. You cannot see how you stir and become what you are, your own self-delusion, your conditioning. That's why inability to understand your own form and mind will actually condition you into delusion, negativity, and you can never awaken to the truth. That's why the meditation to realize the truth is not easy, not straightforward, not what people think. You have to go beyond thought, beyond mind. That's why the Dhamma is akaliko, timeless. Beyond thought, beyond mind, sanditiko. So all this, the Buddha already clearly spell out, explain, and people cannot understand. That's why they didn't really understand the deep meaning of the Dhamma. What is the Dhamma? Salutation to the Dhamma. Swagato Bhagavata Dhammo. Then what is this Dhammo? Well expounded is the Dhamma by the Buddha. What is this Dhamma? The Buddha said, this Dhamma is sandhitical, can be realized in the here and the now, no need to wait till you die. Then this one is akaliko, this Dhamma is the timeless, beyond thought, beyond time. That's why you use the instrument of thought, which is thought piece, to meditate and try to hope for enlightenment. You are being foolish. You are being deluded. Because how can the thought realize a state that is beyond thought, beyond mind? It can't. That's why you have to silence your mind to awaken. Then apart from sandhitiko, akaliko, he said you can investigate on this Dhamma, ehipasiko. He invite you to come and investigate. You will stand up to the truth, where this is the truth. So the Dhamma has this few very beautiful characteristics. He said it is sandhitiko, akaliko, ehipasiko, and opanayiko, leading inward into your nature. Then it is pachetang veditato vinuhiti, can only be realized by the wise one, each for themselves. Because you are not the awakened one, the wise one, you cannot understand the Dhamma. That's why this Dhamma is very, very beautiful, very profound. It's not thought, it's not knowledge. Very good, Jinhao Sadhu. Thank you for bringing out that J. Krishnamurti quote, that very profound quote. So at least we completed that. I almost forgot about that quote. So thank you, Tammy, for bringing out that quote. And thank your mother for actually forwarding that one. Okay, Jinhao, you still have 5 more minutes.
Okay. I also have one experience to share. About 2 weeks ago, one sudden morning, my laptop suddenly, the Wi-Fi disconnect. And then the very strange part was that it able to detect other houses' Wi-Fi, but not my Wi-Fi, you see. So, you know, I spent the whole day, you know, asking around and then searching. Only by the time, in the evening, I managed to rectify the problems. And then suddenly, I have a very deep sort of like thought or reflections inside. I would say that, you know, it's like life, you know.
We
have
a lot of Dhamma there, yes.
Yeah. And then you encounter some, you know, karmic debts.
Yeah.
By the time you serve your death, is it?
Yeah.
Finish serving the tap,
you have to go through the friction of it. There's another way where you can learn. You will come to realize later on. This one is advice for you and other Kayamita. Whatever happened in life, always remember. Don't get angry, don't react, don't panic. Then things will turn around and go your way. The moment you start to get angry, agitated, panic, and unhappy, I tell you, it becomes worse. It becomes worse. That's why you must have love towards your computer. Sometimes the thing that we may own, very old and very long, but all the things that I own and hold very long, serve me very well. I have love for this thing. I care for them. And when I use them, the vibration, everything was going. I have this pen last time. I tell you, that pen, it's just a very cheap fountain pen. No? I think during that time, I bought it for less than a ringgit. But it served me until I finished my form 6, until I go to university. Then later on, somebody tried to borrow my pen to write. He said, what type of pen is it? How can you write with this pen? I said, it has served me so long. Then later on, my brother also, elder brother, lent me the motorbike, Honda Cup, a very old Honda Cup, to go to university. And I'm very full of gratitude towards him because he was the one that actually lent me this motorbike. And this motorbike, very strange. Ever since it landed to me, I didn't know about the problem behind early on. I used it for 4 years now. It served me very well, no problem. And when I finished my exam, I returned the bike to him. The first thing he asked me is, how did you manage this bike? I said, why? He said, after you send back, he cannot start the motorbike also. Oh, a lot of problems. I say, when I use, I don't have any problem. So it depends on how you actually use it, your mind and honesty. And a lot of things I realize, if you really have that type of love, that type of mind, that type of care, it lasts. A lot of things that come to me last very long, very, very long. So all this, if you are patient, then the solution will come. Then you will have a lot of joy. Then you realize the Nietzsche's law is like that. You know why? Just like what you mentioned, law of karma, you reap what you sow. You have to allow the friction to pass. But sometimes no need. Karma got one very peculiar thing. When you have the wisdom and the understanding, and you are patient, at peace with it, then it cannot torment you anymore and torture you anymore or disturb you anymore. Do you know what happened now? It will reverse itself. One. Very strange. It's just like in the traffic jam. I think a lot of Kayanamita told me before. They are caught in the jam already. Then they know it. And most people, when they are caught in the jam, wow, they panic already. They are mind state already. Kangaburi, you know. Wow, why these people like that? Don't know how to drive, very slow. If you do that, you become worse, I tell you. You will be trapped more. And you try to cut out the route, you take more jam. But if you smile at it, laugh at it, and allow it to be, suddenly your sight, the traffic will clear. And you will go to the right place. And you will have the kind heart to allow people to cut and all. No problem. And finally, it's a blessing in this guy. I think you can ask a few Kayamita. Kotlon is one of them. I remember he shared last night. So all this is very beautiful. So Chin-Hao, remember, be patient. Then if it will affect you, your mind state very calm, very peaceful. Sometimes you can laugh. Then somehow it will turn around. So what was the reason for the internet not connected? Finally,
well, there are two possible reasons. One is the router, and the other thing is like I think it's my laptop was quite old already because it's about 8 years.
Yeah, it's more of the router.
So, but yeah, but I think what you're sharing was very, very good because it's like it's a test for me also.
For you to understand. That's why Dhamma is everywhere. So when you can understand, then there is Dhamma. When you cannot understand, living being will react, stir their mind and create heedlessness. But this is not the way of the Dhamma. The way of the Dhamma is to have right thought leading to right speech, right action and right livelihood. All this understanding will unfold when you are on the correct path, when you develop the right training, then Kayamita can help each other. Where everybody encounter things differently, then they all come in differently. So all this sharing can be very useful. That's why I like to spend more time on the sharing part, reporting of meditation, sharing of the mind daily life, and also ask questions. Very good, Jin-Hao. Thank you.
And it's quite strange, you know, because at that particular week, the similar day, you see, not only my laptop having problems, my fridge having problems.
Sometimes it come and test you simultaneously.
All right. You know, the fridge, because it's like my mother is very particular about, you know, her. The fridge because she likes to go and she store a lot of things in the fridge. So when the fridge is it's not getting cold, you know.
Oh,
so
okay.
It's like I was like, wow, what happened? Huh? Suddenly, you know, two electronics items just suddenly just broke down, is it?
Yeah, I can, yeah.
But yeah, I mean, really, is it? Especially at this MCO,
yeah,
is it?
MCO
cannot,
time.
Cannot go out to
people.
Buy a new one or anything,
yeah.
Is it?
You cannot even get people to come and repair.
But yes, but luckily we get a technician, is it came over.
Wow, luckily,
and
then, luckily.
Yeah. And then yeah, he fixed the problem. But really is it is a test, really. I mean how we handle the things, you see. So yes, it's how in life is how you handle the things, you see.
Yeah.
It's really a karmic test.
Yeah. This is Dhamma in daily life. That's why everything is Dhamma, like the essence of infinite meaning, the sutra of infinite meaning. When you understand everything in life, in existence, is Dhamma. And Dhamma is everywhere. Truth is everywhere because Dhamma is truth. So it's in life that you can see the manifestation and unfolding of truth. All of the nature's law. All of the essentialism. The law of dependent origination. Patichasamuppanna. So, when you are silent, mindful, aware within, you can see all this, you can observe all this, then you can awaken, then you can straighten your view, and you will not be foolish, deluded anymore. So all this phenomenal world of consciousness loses its power to deceive and delude you. That's how the form and mind, with that understanding, wisdom and awakening, is no longer deluded. That's why it cannot suffer anymore. It cannot become afflicted and tricked by all this anymore. That's how the form and mind develop understanding and awaken, liberate itself, and no more suffering. And you can say the form and mind is enlightened, but that form and mind is not you. It's just a vehicle and tool, karmically conditioned out for you to use. So use it, leave it, then do not be deluded by it, like the Vipitriya Tofining. So sadhu, Jinhao, once again, thank you for your good sharing and condition and ability to actually bring about all this sharing. Also to Tammy's mother, Karen, and Tammy for contributing whatever they have.
Yes, Brother Teo. I actually, because I don't know much about computer, so I actually bounce to a lot of problems how to transfer files, so I keep on disturbing Jinhao so many times, you know. So
it should be very easy. Well, I have sent you the thing B one already.
I got the file what SRP and then I cannot transfer, I cannot change that into the Word.
No, I send over is Word.
Oh, anyway, I already got. So I was very relieved. Finally, I say, okay, I already one block, I got them already.
Yeah, now you follow her format, it's very good. They have the time of the recording. Then after that, you listen, then you just transcript out.
So I was thinking only waiting, everything is already there, la, the infrastructure. So one day I actually started to do a little bit. I noticed that for 3 minutes I take 1 hour to transcribe.
Not only you know how much time and effort people put in to do it for you, the earlier one.
Yeah, so, actually, I was thinking 2-3 years back before the MCO, I already thinking, but I have no courage to do.
Yeah, so now it's a condition for you to understand. Initially, it's like that because you are not familiar with the teaching. What you have heard is just like Dhamma knowledge to you because your old way is still there. You didn't really change much, except some form of contemplative understanding and maybe theoretical Dhamma. But with this therefore, it will bring about a lot of good karmic conditioning and good affinity with the triple gem. And this type of wholesomeness is very, very, I should say, very, it's towards the Dhamma side. It's a form of gift of truth. So this will help you actually to propel you to progress along the path of Dhamma. So initially, now mind, you may spend an hour to transcribe 3 minutes of talk because you're not familiar. So you spend some time, take a while, it's okay. But as you listen, as you do it, then when you write it out later and you read it again, your understanding will stabilize. And this is a very good way because there is recording. You can go back and listen again and again and again. So initially it's like that. You ask Chin Hao when he started also same. All those who do the transcript also same, unless they have good Dhamma understanding and the cultivation. They cannot just do it so fast. So what you have gone through is very typical, which is very good. My nature rejoice, huh? Sadhu to you.
So Bro Teo, the first night actually I used up about 3 hours until I think close to 12 midnight, you know. I was doing transcribe a little bit, then the rest I'm not doing transcribe, I'm doing to arrange certain thing for me to easy to start. So yeah, okay, yeah. I finish Gao Tim. Next time I open up one to do, I cannot find my file, you know, the
that is the test lah.
So but
that's why when you are not mindful, not heedful, all these things can happen. That's why I for myself, so I make it a point, I write down. Well, computer is very new to me. So I write down what are the password, what are the file title that I store and all those things until over the period. I am now quite clear about this file thing already. Last time, I also, like you, very child on the computer, I used to consult Sui on. I say, how come the PDX file I cannot convert this thing? But later on, I learned from her and my son, you must learn how to understand computer language. It's just like Dhamma. You must learn how to understand Dhamma, otherwise you find it very confusing. But for me, it's okay because I know it's not my field. I'm willing to learn. So I came to realize if I'm patient, if I learn it, then I save a lot of my own time. Otherwise, I will waste a lot of my own time. So it's like Dhamma. If you don't cultivate your understanding, you're wasting a lot of your time doing the cultivation. So all these are Dhamma for us to learn. So no problem. So finally, what happened?
I cannot find it. So
I call Jin Hao.
No, it took me a few seconds. My brain straight away turn and say, okay, the worst is how. I say, okay, the worst is 3 hours gone. No, I have to read. Gone. So with that, I was prepared to say, okay, 3 hours gone. All what I have done is already gone. I have to redo.
Then it come back.
Yes. Since I don't
know. It's a test.
I said I need to seek help, you know. So I call my office. That is at night already, Sunday night. I call my office, ICT people. There's one lady. I call her. So she guided me, and I managed to recover the thing.
Yeah, there is a auto save one.
Yes.
You so, go to the draft there. There's an auto save file one. I also came to know. I set the auto save. Then I realized it's safe. Every time I do a transcript or something, then I realize it auto save. So my mail, sometimes I, like in the early days, I want to reply email. After I finish off 80%, then I decide to take a rest and do something else. Then I come back, I found missing. like what happened to you, but those were the early years. Then I tried to find out ways to retrieve it. Then finally, I discovered my computer has the autosave. You can set it to 1 minute or half a minute or whatever. Then the autosave, you have to go to the draft there, yeah, to retrieve it. And sometimes I will forward that save file to my own folder so that it will not go missing. Then sometimes when you do it too fast, you may make a mistake. Instead of save, you click something else, then it disappears or it gets deleted. So all this we learn because these are new things. So very good.
Actually I recover, but before I recover, when I have encountered a problem straight in my mind is why I got so many for this exercise. Because the file is I'm not familiar format ma, so I encountered. Yeah. So 一关做完了, when I'm getting ready to start now, 做了哦, will you 有问题? So I told Achin Hao, I said, 我好像活见鬼, you know.
Do you learn from this or not?
Word file for me to save is nothing new, you know, day in and day out, I save
right,
file.
Right. So what did you learn from all this? That is more important, through observation, through understanding. This is Dhamma, actually. You better try your best to understand and you know, maybe share with us what did you learn.
So when I use the word 活见鬼, that moment I told myself I'm 活见鬼, it means impossible, you know, my fault, I cannot find. So
okay, I help you. You know why you go to that kind of line of thought? It's your habitual tendency, 佛见鬼, your conditioning, all things. But what is important is just for you to learn something that is new to you. You have to really spend effort and time. Learn it. Be patient. Persevere. Be sincere. Dhamma is the same. Learning something new is the same. The skill is the same. So don't go back to the old way of thinking and blame this, blame that. Wow. But at least when you have the Dhamma, you know it's a test. It's a test means what? I have to be patient. These are reality that is happening in front of me. Then like you say, sometimes karmically is very strange. You have been saving file for so long. It's not something new. But then it has this type of problem. So you have to find out why. Sometimes it's a test. It's a test. And if you can pass, you clear. If you cannot pass, it will continue to trap you. Then your habitual tendency, you start to see. You go back to the old way of thinking, the old way of manifesting your thought, your like and dislike. Like when you mentioned, how can the Buddha see a ghost? If you are the Buddha, you cannot see the ghost. Understand? How did that saying come about? I also don't know. So all this you can learn, you can contemplate. Okay, Paulian, anything else?
No lah. So brother, after I go and I find that it might be it's my karmic obstruction.
So you learn. Then you accept it and move.
I find so I So I go and repent for like, you know, I ask for permission that I got a smooth journey for this.
Good. Make aspiration.
I always take from Kayanamita, so I want to do something.
Yeah, contribute back.
Throughout the years, I say I'm taking and taking.
Now is your time to contribute. Very good.
That's what I have in my mind.
And it will help you. It will bring about affinity for you to progress. Very good, Sadhu.